Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you for yet another day, a day you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you for this hour. And thank you for the very essence, the design that you have for us. Thank you because we will not live here the same. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Good morning. Welcome to church. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. I'll take the New King James Version. Read from verse 1, and I will stop at verse 15. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked for him by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had imam fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and life? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Verse 14, which is my emphasis. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see God, the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Hallelujah. I have to read from verse 1 because it will not be clear if we just speak verse 14 and verse 15. It may not exactly be clear. But it's important. It says in verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hallelujah. In verse 10, it says, "For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." So hold verse 14 in your left so that when you are eating, you will not eat with it. That's what they told me when I was growing up. So anything in your left, Abi, come on, Abi, so I wonder what will happen to the people that are left-handed. They are in trouble. They will put it in their right. Amen. So verse 10 talks about the fact that your earthly fathers, okay, they will chasten you for a few days as seem best to them. And we accept it. Okay? If we don't accept it, we become rebellious. But you still have to come back. That's when somebody will say, you are not longer my son. And then everybody just, when we go to the left, the other one will go to the right. But in their spirit, in their minds, the two of them are together. Hallelujah. Amen. But it says that, but for our profit, that we may be partakers. So they indeed for a few days testing us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. So all that God does when he's chastening us is so that you'll be partakers of his holiness. Amen. In verse 14, it talks about the fact that pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people, okay? And pursue holiness. Hallelujah. Are you getting the picture? Verse 10 talks about the fact that it's just in, it's for our own profit, and he does it so that we can be partakers of his holiness. Verse 14 says, pursue peace with all men. We'll be looking at lifestyle in a couple of, all through till the end of the year, actually, how we comport ourselves and how we behave, okay? But this part of scripture is very important. If we will be like Christ, then we follow the example of Christ, okay? Verses 1 to 4 says that, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a crowd, great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. Let's take a pause. Because this portion of scripture relates with what we do on a daily basis, or what we engage in, okay? And one of the things that it says we should, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But before that, it says, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, okay? And it says, let us now run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, if you are a long distance runner, so if you do like 1,500 meters, 5,000 meters, if you do like 10,000 kilometers, okay, that's a long distance runner. And, you know, when you look at people that engage in sports, oh God, when you look at people that engage in sports, you see that their dressing is not, is unusual. It looks unusual. If you look at the clothing that they wear, it's practically weightless. And even the shoes that they wear, it's not just this boogie boogie that we are wearing. Eh? It's up. When you hold them, you're just like, why is this thing so light? Okay? If at all they wear wristwatch, it's always light. They do all their best to make sure that there's no weight upon them. Okay? and then you begin to run. And he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But the first thing is that you have to offload. When you don't offload, those weights will be the problem. Those weights will distract you. Those weights will hinder you. And the same thing that applies in our faith walk. There are weights, and it says that lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Hallelujah. So there are weights and there's sin. Amen. So when I was growing up, I thought I could manage long distance running. So there was always this competition in my school. We call it cross country within the University of Ibadan. From my school, we run like 10 kilometers out of the school gate, run to the main gate, then back through all the streets of University of Ibadan. As far as we go to Oba Dam, from Oba Dam, we come back to school. That's for those that know University of Ibadan. And everybody must run 10 kilometers. So along the line, different points, there are people that will check that you have not used shortcut, you know. So we can just use shortcut and then they suddenly appear in school. But so that they know that you have gone, because, I mean, there's a way that you, I mean, you can't get to, if you want to go, if you say run from here to your daughter, no, run from here to Bayland via Ogudu Express. Eh? There's no, so if they put people at that bend, that barrier bend, to make sure that you pass there, there's no way you run through this place and tell them that you went to that place. Because you actually go through this Ojota and then Pam, that's Maryland, and then you say you are home. So there was this gentleman that came from, I think he was from Ghana, very, very brief. You know when people are brief? Okay. So, they're very brief. But his endurance was so, so encouraging. Number one, he does not stop when he's running all through the if you drive behind him a bicycle, you get tired. I get what I'm saying. If you are he's running, and he's going 10 kilometers, if you are riding a bicycle, you get tired, you will not get tired. Now, some of us on the way, we stop, we take water. Those are weights for that kind of race. When people run those kind of things, the best they will do is just to take a drop to hydrate them, not to drink. You know that there are two different things. And someone says, I'm tired. Yeah. Then you now douse it. It's no sin, but it's a weight. At the end of the day, it diminishes your performance, okay? And you will not get the end result that you desire. He said we should lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Hallelujah. Since that these things so easily, that means that if you are not paying attention, it will creep upon you. It's so, so easy. It looks like something that is a norm. Okay? Yeah, well, I mean, there's no problem if you drink water. Is there a problem? There's no problem. But for the kind of thing you are doing, it's a problem. Hallelujah. Then when you run, there are some races you run that you have to suck in air. Okay? You suck in air. So those long distance races, you must suck in air as you are running. But the anaerobic races, you are not supposed to breathe in. The first burst of air you take in is what will take you through the length of that race. So that those are like the races of the 100 meters and the 200 meters. So once they blow the whistle, that gulp of air that you take in is what you will take to the end. You don't run those kind of races and you are breathing. Breathing becomes a weight for that race. Because it's supposed to be anaerobic without air. Hallelujah. And all, I'm explaining these things to you so that you can understand that when he talks about the fact that this race that we are running, we should drop all these weights, is the weights that when it comes to our spiritual things, are things that we should readily be able to identify. Distractions. Amen. Now let's continue. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Amen. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And the end result is that he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. So for him, for us, he is our example. So God had a design and he had a goal. And in God's design, Jesus must bear that cross and that shame, carry the sin of the whole world. Okay? And then at the end of it, he gets the throne. Amen. So for him, the end result was the driving force. Hallelujah. The desire of the Father, which was we desire the will of God, which will bring about the end result, was his driving force. So everything that came his way, on the way to the cross, he had to endure. So little wonder that in verse 2 and in verse 1, he says, you must run with endurance the race that is set before you. Amen. Now, for that cross country I was describing to you, there are some people that their aim for that cross country is just to be like, I'm part of it too. You know, it is in this age and time. I mean, it's my opinion. It's not a law, it's not a decree. I cannot go to a sports competition and then someone will come and tell me that the joy is in participating. You know, that's what they say. That the joy is in participating. I cannot go to a sports competition and then I say, I should be a participator. That's the joy. No, for me, it's not. For me, it's a crime. You understand? It's a crime. In fact, for me, it's a crime that I go into a competition and I come second. That's how much of a crime it is for me. So if I look at this race and I know that I'm going to be second, I'm not going to run that race. Truly, I won't run. If I look at this race, so let me tell you, I say, how do you know you'll be second? So in school, when school starts, it's always first term. Everybody, they will throw everybody on the field and everybody begins to run up and down, everything. So you can tell people's ability. So when I was in school, I'm just telling you, don't forget, I'm talking about the endurance because there's a price. Okay? So you have to endure because there's an end point. There's a price. Now, when school is in session and we resume, everybody comes to the field, physical education, and everybody starts to run. So over time, you know the people around you and you know their capability. Okay? But it will be wrong for you to decide that his capability last year is his capacity this year. Okay? So when we all go to the field, when everybody jumping around, I don't jump around. Because in my right, everybody knows that I can run. So I don't jump around. I sit down. And I begin to look at my closest rival last time. I look at them because everybody has a goal, and the goal is that they must be faster than me. Truly, I'm not kidding. So if I bring all my schoolmates, they will tell you that that's true. Their goal was to be faster than me. So when they come to the field, they do all their best. That's because they know it's the sport is first time. They do all their best on the field. So I sit down by the field, and I begin to watch everybody, and I begin to note who has improved, and who has not. And then I go. I go back home, in my own compound. And I do my own training. If you see me train in school, it's for them so that other people can train. When I go back home, I do my own training. When I'm in school, I watch everybody and say, who is a threat to this first position? Amen. Now, this particular year, one guy came from, I think he came from the UK, his parents relocated, and then he came. And you know, when we were growing up, we didn't used to run with spikes, it's bare feet. All of us would go to the field bare feet and everything. So this guy came. He came with spikes. You know what spikes are? The running shoes. And he came well kitted. He was fine. He was dressed like the Carl Lewis of that time. And then we all went to the field. So the day before, they went to the field. The guy showed them that he can perform. So everybody came looking for me. Say, ah, come and see this guy. We have found an end to your reign. I was laughing. I was scared. I laughed. But I laughed at them. I said, you guys, it's not possible. But I was scared. I said, ah, for these people to come and tell me. And then when the guy dressed, so that day I stayed back. When the guy dressed and was going to the field, I saw him dressed, well kitted. I saw his spikes. Even his ties were far bigger than mine. I said, wow, there's trouble. So I went to the field. I sat down. And then they were training. And I was watching. I watched him run. I watched and watched and watched. And then I looked in my mind. Can you beat this guy? My mind said, my mind vibrated before answering me. Amen. Now, they now said, so that they, you know the way people are, they now said, oh yeah, come and run. I just want to tell you the name they called me then. If I tell you now, everybody will start calling me. They say, oh yeah, come and run. Come on, run with this guy. He's going to. I said, no, I'm not running. I'm not in the mood for running. So throughout all that period of everybody practicing, I never ran with him. And I made sure I didn't run with him. But when I get home, I will run and run and run. I will give myself a mark and I try to time myself. I just do a bit second faster than what I was doing. And I kept running. I said in my mind, nobody. And that was the year, I stepped into senior secondary, okay? So in junior secondary, it was no doubt that I was their champion. So this senior secondary, it was like, we have found a solution to you. And so when the race, on the day of the race, that was the day that the whole school, they had been waiting for. Amen. Even himself had been like, oh yeah, come now. With all his spikes and everything, I did not. So what I did was no eating. On the day of the race, I didn't eat in the morning, no. I just took, that was something I'd never done before. Because every time I would just go, if I want to run with Kenny, I would say, what's Kenny? I don't need to practice now. Just go to the field and run. Boom, we are done. So, but this one, it gave me so much, and it gave me so much stress. And then, on the day of the race, I didn't eat in the morning. The race was 3 p.m. It was supposed to be 4 p.m. I'm telling you how to drop weight. I didn't eat in the morning because I had a target. So I took fluids. I was taking fluids. And I was psyching myself. Now, when we run, please don't forget that we are talking the Bible. Don't mind me in my story so that you can relate with this Bible. Because you have to drop those weights and then there's a target. So ordinarily when we run, we are like 8 people. Some people, they stay in the middle lane. Now, they will look to the left and they will look to the right with the corner of their eye. Abby? I say, me. In those days, we don't pick lane. You go and choose your lane. I say, me. Lie. I can't be doing this and doing this when I have a target. So I took the last lane that if anything at all, I can see from the corner of this eye and I can continue. Hallelujah. When we started the race, I don't mind when you start a race and you're ahead of me. I don't mind because that's not the end of the race. And that's the way life is. The beginning is not the end. The middle is not the end. So what you face in the beginning, you are supposed to overcome it. When we get into the middle of life, you are supposed to keep accelerating and moving. Okay? What is important is not even when you are seeing the finish line. It's when you cross that line. Amen. So when we started the race, boom! The guy had gone. I said, oh my God. And the whole school just rose. And they were clapping. You know, these things we hear when we are running. Don't say, how did you now hear? We hear when we are running. And the whole school now rose. And they were clapping. And they were whistling. And I was there. I just smiled. So I started pumping. I started moving. And I saw that, I'm closing this guy up. Because he had gone. It's like from here to here, he had gone. But he could not accelerate. He could start. Which was what everybody was seeing when we were practicing. He could start. He could not accelerate. So when I did my best to keep up with his starting, and I started accelerating, and I was seeing that I was able to close the gap, I kept on accelerating. And I did not stop accelerating until I crossed that line. And then when I crossed the line, I just looked at everybody and said, so what? I did not do like this to everybody. I said, why do I have so many enemies? I just looked at them. When I crossed the line, I said, so what? We have done the race. But no man does that until he has the crown. Listen, when you start life, no matter how slow it seems, you have to keep your concentration. And I told you one thing. I knew the end of this race was that we must get that first position. Now, the prize they would give me was not what was important to me. It was the aftermath of that race. That means I won't be able to walk in school. You know what that means? That means that if I walk inside school, they don't say, oh, your reign is over. And then we have to wait. You have to endure that thing for 1 year. Everybody will be journeying. You have to endure that thing for 1 year. Maybe you don't understand. From junior secondary one, I was in the school relay team with the people in SS3. You understand what I'm saying? From junior secondary one, I was in the relay team with the people in SS3. So he says here that Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He has given us an example to work with. He says he endured the cross. He could have commanded the angels, "Abel, carry this thing." He could have. He could have. That weight was nothing for the angels. Just Legion, I beg. Just, I'm here, be carrying it. But who is he deceiving? It's not his report card is not being marked, or his exam sheet is not being marked by the people around and those that will be jeering at him. Because it says here that despising the shame. No. His exam script is being ticked by God. Who will give him the throne at the end of the cross? So if angels helped him to carry the cross, men would not have known. They won't. Because they would just see him bent under what looks like the weight of the cross. But some other people are carrying it. And if he so wanted to, he could have asked them to do it. Hallelujah. But don't forget, for him, the Garden of Gethsemane was where he dropped all the weights. Hallelujah. And he said, Lord, it's not my will, but your will. Amen. It was letting go and allowing God. So the Bible says, he despised the shame and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He says you should consider him. Who is him? Consider Christ, that endured such hostility from sinners against himself. So by looking at 100% God, 100% man, and people are jeering at him, and I mean, I don't even know what you can even compare with that. That, okay, before Tyson became everybody's punch bag, you know, there was a time Mike Tyson. That boxer. There was a time that he was a dreaded boxer. I think his match with Michael Spinks was the one that I really wanted to watch. And in less than 1 minute, that match was over. He beat that guy black and blue. The match was over. They said people were still buying tickets to enter the stadium, and he had won the match. So imagine the person that paid last when the referee blew that whistle. Even if it's $100, it's gone. It is. I think it was 90 seconds. That match was 90 seconds. But little did men know that there was a sparring partner for him that always knocked him down during training. Interesting. Abby? That one is his sparring partner. No, sparring partner is, let me train with this one. So he himself knows that he has a weakness. And so anytime he's fighting, he guards his weakness. And then he makes use of his own strength, which is the weight of his blow. Hallelujah. So imagine, so when they called the two opponents, these guys' resume, so good, very beautiful. I can speak, then my guitar sing. And then after that, when it was 90 seconds, everybody just looked at these things and said, so what's all this noise? 90 seconds. Even if he was going to beat you, everybody expected that the match would go the full length. And then the referee would decide on points. But the knockout in 90 seconds, for some, so the jeering was too much. He says, Christ, okay, endured such hostility from sinners against himself. And says, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What you are supposed to be looking at is the end game. Hallelujah. And then, apart from the end game, the one that is going to give you that crown after the end. He said, and he's telling you that in this life, there will be people that will jeer. There will be things that will be considered shameful in your walk with God. But those things are weights that should never be a bother to you. Hallelujah. And he's saying in verse 4, it says that you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. You should throw, verse 1 says, we should lay aside every weight and sin, okay, which so easily ensnares us. And one of such things is that we are always having arguments or not living with peace with some one man or the other. There is always a score to settle. Verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So when there is no peace, it's a weight. Hallelujah. Verse 2 has told us is the author and the finisher of our faith. Verse 3 has says that he considered and he endured. And we have to be like him. Okay? Now, go to Matthew chapter 5. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one can see God. Matthew chapter 5. And I'm reading from verse 43. Because oftentimes when people are against us, so don't forget, all Christ did was follow the will of God. He didn't go looking for anybody's trouble. But as he was breaking down the myths and turning people to see the reality of God's word, he was gathering for himself enemies. Hallelujah. In quotes, people that thought they were authority in the scriptures, they were authority in the kingdom of God. And they could not relate with the fact that this is the Son of God. So they were well lettered. And they couldn't see in the letters that this man is the fulfillment of prophecy. Okay? So they started all they could to pin him down and kill him. Okay? Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. It says, you have heard. And these are the red letters of Christ. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Amen. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the good, on the just and the unjust. Hallelujah. He says, you have heard, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, that means he negates that, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, when people spitefully use you, you become an object of ridicule. Huh? And in Hebrews 12, we have read that he despised all the shame. Christ didn't take cognizance of it. He just kept on that enduring the cross until now he's seated at the throne of God, right hand of God. Hallelujah. He says here that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. If you look at Hebrews 12 from verse 5 downwards, it talks about Father chastening you. And then when he chastens you, he wants to bring the best out of you. And that is so that you can be partaker of his holiness. Amen. When you learn to drop weights and sin, it will be easy for you to be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. And walking in holiness will no longer look like an Herculean task. Amen. Now, obeying this part of scripture alone, if there anybody will tell you that it's difficult. Say, how can you say that you should love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them who hate you? They hate you. Why would you do good to them? He says, and pray for those who spitefully. So by the time that your attention is drawn on somebody hating you, and you are planning to retaliate, you have taken your focus, just like we are reading this morning, you have taken your focus off God. And then this thing that is a weight begins to slow you down. Hallelujah. See, when people that sprinters, those people that run, one of the things that they run with, they train with, their weights. They will tie those things to their leg and they will run. And then they run so much so that they can overcome that weight. And then at a point, they get used to running with that weight. When they cut it off, their speed has become faster. Okay? So for them, they use weights to train. When they come to real life, there's no weight. But that weight that they have used to train, it gives them ability and it has given them the capacity. When you are able to follow this scripture, when somebody hates you, show him love. Yeah, it's dangerous. He says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Hallelujah. He didn't say go and dine with them. You know somebody hates you. He said you should go and play with them. No. He said, pray for them. Hallelujah. Don't begin to form a battalion that will fight against them. Because by the time you begin to form a battalion and fight against them, then that time, that space of time that you should have used for the glory of God, you have wasted it. Because it is going to be to no avail. Amen. We read in Proverbs, it says, by the time you are busy cursing your enemy, me, God, I will have compassion on the guy. He says, but if you pray for your enemy, and you, by so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head, that God will look at you and say, this guy is doing exactly what I expect him to do. This one that is troubling him, let me sort it out. Amen. When we follow these simple instructions, and that's why in verse 14 of Hebrews 12, we say, pursue peace with all men. The way to pursue peace is what I'm reading to you here. He says, you love them, do good to them who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute them, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Not that you may get recognition for those that hate you, or you get the applause. Hallelujah. No. He's saying that when you do these things, what is coming your way is that, there's an affirmation of the fact that you are a son of God. And it's pruning. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, so when those pressures come, people left, side, center, they don't like you, they are giving you pressures. God expects you to stand by what he has, what you have known him to talk about this kind of situation. It will be difficult, in quotes, because it's a departure from the norm. But it's a way of God teaching you to walk in his ways. He says in verse 7 of Hebrews 12, that if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and life and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but if for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Okay, so it says now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hallelujah. Those who have been trained by it. The place of training, you can't take it away. You don't just suddenly become. Okay? So, the story of the light bulb we have now, it just doesn't happen that the man that designed the light bulb just woke up, designed it, and it's boom, he's here. When we were studying, I think they said he had 999 different experiments. And when they finally asked him, he said he has learned 999 ways of not making it. Hallelujah. Because they're going to make fun of him. Say, 990, blah, blah, blah. I've learned 999 ways of not doing it. This 1,000th way is the way of doing it. And now today, everybody has a bulb. But someone endured that face. Imagine if you had given up. You just come and be doing candlelight. Hallelujah. But it says that in verse 11, that towards the end, it says, the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. When we say we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it doesn't mean that life will not come with its pressures. It does not mean that there will not be challenges. In fact, what validates you is that there are challenges. You know, some people don't like saying problem. They say they're problem. But problems are meant to be solved. Challenges are meant to be overcome. He says, if you will say that you are the Son of God, then it means that you have been trained. And then you now have this peaceable result that after your training, you are called the Son of God. And when I mentioned the fact that the sprinters, they train with weights. Huh? They train with weights. If you just go and look at their videos, they train with weights. They tie them. So they sometimes restrain them. So they just keep trying to get their body to move. And then you suddenly just leave it. And then the body moves. Okay? There are different techniques that they are training. But once they finish that training, it becomes part of their system. So tomorrow when somebody hates you, it just becomes part of you to love that person. You train yourself today, next tomorrow, anytime. And you are not supposed to be like, why is it always coming to me? It's chastening. And it's because of your own profit. Hallelujah. When we were trying to ride, I was learning to ride bicycle. My mother used to teach us. She bought us a quadricycle. It has four legs. It's four. So there's the two main tires, and then there's a third one and a fourth one by the side of the back one. So you know that kind of bicycle. So it's tires. So you ride and you're fine. Then my mother took away one of them. So if you teach towards this side, if you teach towards this side, you just fall. So we ride it towards this side. Then when she looked, she said, she just removed that one. And then Ruala came to balance. And then she will come, she will hold the seat behind you so that it balances. And then she will keep going with you. And she will do that regularly. So we are just like, oh, mom is there. And then she will leave it. And then you are riding and you are going and you are going. And you will be going, you know, just like Peter, when Christ said, bid me come. You'll be going. Then he said, mommy, where is mommy? And then that's when this bicycle will fall. And then she said, I had left you since. So why did you fall? Then we come again. Then we do. Then we go. Then you go. Then she will leave it. And then you go. And then she, so once I learned that, when I say mom, and I know here, I just concentrate. And I continue. Those skills of riding bicycle. I don't ride bicycle anymore. But if you give me a bicycle today, I cannot wobble. Because by training, I've overcome. So when pressures come your way and you want to hide, it is to train you. Hallelujah. So that the peaceable fruit of righteousness, okay, can be truly yours. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. And in pursuing holiness, you have to understand when God is chastening, it's for your own profit. When people are jeering and you are not responding, it's not for them to say, you're such a lovely person. It takes you nowhere in the things of God. When somebody tells you, you're just a lovely person. Amen. What takes you somewhere is that God calls you son. Not everything we do is, so who is watching? I'm this good. I'm that good. It's not important. You have a cloud of witnesses. And your cloud of witnesses, they are in the cloud. Hallelujah. They are not here. You have that cloud of witnesses. I'm saying, come on, you can do it. Hallelujah. And there's God that wants to be able to say that when I chastened you, you did not turn back. You know, people will react. It's just like when you say when somebody slap you, the left, you turn the right, you say, and I'm not daft. The Bible said it, when they spitefully use you, if you know that in the place where you're going, they'll be slapping you, don't go there. So that you don't react. If you go there, be sure not to react. My oh my. Amen. And when pressures come from different angles, that it looks like the world is pressing on you, remember this part of the scripture, that the peaceable fruit, that now chastening seems to be joyful for no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hallelujah. So nothing comes easy. Nothing comes without pain. But when those things come, it's to train you so that you get that peaceable fruit that God is talking about. Amen. Look at what Joseph said to his brothers, and we'll stop. I think he's in Genesis chapter 50. Because you say, hey, what's the end game? How can I know this? Why they are riding me? Blah blah blah. Don't worry, be a bicycle. Or be like, what's this blue car that is in Lagos? Lag ride. Let them ride you. It's taking you somewhere. Join Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. After he met his brothers, and they were looking and saying, this boy is going to deal with us. Now he's the prime minister. He's going to deal with us. He says, Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Eh? That's what Joseph said. He was thrown into the pit. He was sold into slavery. He went to prison. And he could have sat down and be like, all is the fault of my brothers. I'm just waiting for the day that I will lay my hands on them. I'm going to so deal with them. But it was the first question. He says, am I in the place of God? So when you are responding to all these problems, and you're responding in your own way, you are putting yourself in the place of God. That's what it means. When people use you, when people hate you, and you are responding so that they can understand that you are you, you are putting yourself in the place of God. And then he said to them, you meant it for evil against me. He said, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Joseph did not say God meant it for good so that we'll be prime minister. You could see in between that his being prime minister was to save people. Whatever pedestal you stand upon is not you that is meant for. It is meant for other people. I think I mentioned it last time in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, they were singing and praying, and then they were loose. But it was not for them. It was for that jailer to be saved. The end point for any believer is that the will of God may be known in the open. If your life will not bring the will of God to bear, then you need to reorchestrate it and walk the way God has asked you to walk. But he's saying there will be turbulence on the way. Nothing comes easy. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a training that brings you, the training in the background that you make use of in the foreground. Hallelujah. And if without that training, you will not be able to stand. He says, Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. He says, God will not bring you anything your way that you are not able to overcome. So when issues come, and you look at it, this is going to kill me. God is not like that. When issues come, you need to sit down and say, so God, where are we going? Hallelujah. It is you and God in that situation. And he says, you can't touch you because you are well able to overcome. See, if I had a need now, and it's 50 million, I will laugh. Because I say, that means God is saying that I can make 50 million and more. Of all these problems, see this BC. There is no BC. He's telling you that your capacity is able to overcome that which is in front of you. Amen. When challenges come, they don't make us bow. When challenges come and we face them in the light of the scriptures, we are the ones that come out the best for it. And at the end of it, we give glory to God. Because nothing that comes to you, we read it this morning now, that when is to be absent from God is to be present in the flesh. Hallelujah. And once you're not present in the flesh, where are you supposed to be? Up there. For as long as you're on this side of divide, we need to walk with the word of God. And once we walk with the word of God, it is not about you. It's what God wants to achieve with whatever you are going through. But know that whatever you are passing through, if you have not trained, you may fail. But learn to train so that you be the best for it and get the fruit of righteousness. Let's rise on our feet. He has given us an example in Christ that he endured the cross, despised shame, and now he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. And then we have seen Joseph. He said, you guys meant it for evil, and he endured everything And while he was enduring everything, he did not, for one, not do God's will. And he told his brothers, it's so that these lives might be saved. One life that is saved for Christ is another set of lives that is going to be drawn unto him. Amen. And your life, the life you live, is no longer yours. We read this morning as well in 2 Corinthians 5. Life you live is no longer yours. It's according to the will of God. Just thank him this morning that you truly, you'll be an effulgence of God's glory. You'll be the one that will radiate the glory of God. It's not about this earthly carcass, but it's about God will have us do in this earthly carcass. So for his glory and for the glory of his name. Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you. We magnify you. We say that you are God. Thank you for the word. And thank you because indeed,